That's last week.
Yes, ladies, we are definitely on live. I wanted to make sure that I muted out some of the stuff that's going on in the background. So hello, ladies. I hope you got your mimosas or whatever it is that you're drinking, you know, so we can put up our little toast. I don't know, Val, if I might not have said anything, but you got something there. Oh, okay. Here we go. Or something like that. Bottom line is just I had to step my game up. You know, I had to step my game up according to, you know, the people, the person that's on the show. So I had to break out the 1800.
Do y'all hear the recording from I hear something.
Yeah, I hear that.
I do too. Yeah.
I do too. I hear something in the background.
All right. Well, let me see what I got going on, because sometimes I do things like that. Y'all know how it is.
Yeah. You hear me? Recording in the background.
You hear me?
I had like last week
the intro
recording. Yeah.
Find it. Second, I'm gonna find it. Y'all keep on chatting. Okay, pretend like you don't hear it. I want to introduce everybody, even though you hear an echo, I'm gonna get rid of it in a few minutes, okay? But welcome to the show, 15th edition. You know. I think it's one of the shows that I had on before, but we're going to keep it moving. Tara Lynn Towns, we got on the show, 501c3 with Living Beyond You and Child Development Behavioral Specialist at Bayonne, New Jersey.
Tamika Dixon,
great WNBA, great current business owner and future Hall of Famer at Linden, New Jersey. Pentola. WNBA great, the godmother, okay, general manager of future Hall of Famer at a DC Chocolate City in the house, and one of my favorites, I just can't stand it, Pamela Wheeler, former player, player association director in WNBA, and now is a current professor, right, at Columbia University. I love it. Val White,
beautiful,
former NCAA champion on here with me. Stanford University, WNBA player from South Orange, New Jersey, always continuing to do Microsoft in Virginia, cornering the market. Welcome to the show, ladies. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. I'm going to bleep out for a second and try to get this echo out of here.
Okay, I didn't hear what you just said. Were you talking to me? Who are you talking to?
Yeah, she said, tell us what you've been doing lately, Pam.
Oh, nothing going on. Nothing's going on right now because we're in the middle of a pandemic. But, you know, just grateful to God that everybody's safe and healthy. And so it's so good to see you all and see everyone's faces and that everyone's healthy. And just prayerful that everyone's families continue to be blessed and safe and healthy. But Goody mentioned, I've been teaching at Columbia for the last few years. I teach in the Graduate Sports Management Program. I teach leadership development and personnel management. And I also do leadership development and personnel consulting as well. So that's what I've been doing the last couple of years and raising my daughter who, you know, most of you saw me, I was either pregnant or she was just a baby. Now she's 13 and a big girl and wow. Going off to eighth grade. So I actually sent Goody a picture of her, picture Adrian actually holding her when she's like 6 months old at a
wow.
WNBA All-Star at an All-Star. And then I sent her a picture. She was going to a bat mitzvah a few months ago. So it was a big difference, right, Goody?
Oh my God, blew my mind, you know? And it's funny because I text you back and I said, oh my God, I remember her goobering on me and slobbering on me. Sends me a picture back in the day, All-Star weekend. That was probably one of the best All-Star weekends ever.
It was in D.C.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a good That was a good one.
I crashed on the floor in your hotel room.
Yes, my mother was talking about that yesterday. She was like, "Oh Lord, that girl was laying on the floor."
Yes, yes. Great times, great times. So I'm so glad that you're here on the show. Give us some enlightenment around some things that we have been discussing. You know, also got heavy hitter Val Whiting. I had the opportunity to play with her. You know, this is Stanford University, you know, NCAA champion. You know, had the opportunity to play with her in Brazil. Okay. We were in Brazil together. Val was actually responsible for putting the paper in my hand, putting the application in my hand for the American Basketball League, the ABL. And I had heard a lot about it. I had talked to Christy Hedgepeth. I had talked to AZ about it. And Val was the one who actually physically put the app in my hand. And I put it in my drawer. We went off in Brazil and won everything up there. And then we left. And that's when I started playing in the ABL. So I want to thank you live for that. So introduce yourself and tell everybody what you're doing right now, Val.
Let's see. It's been a while since I've seen you, Pam. My goodness, that brings back memories. Oh, 20 years, I think, has passed since almost 20 years. I got two boys. One's going to college on Friday back east. I got another 15-year-old who's a freshman. He's 6'6". It's been, this pandemic has been crazy. It's made me rethink about myself and where I'm going. And I've been doing a lot of stuff on social media. I've been on TikTok just empowering a female athlete and trying to build up our young girls because there's so much hate out there, believe it or not, from little boys. And it's surprising. So that's what I've been doing. Also have an after school program, which teaches kids basketball, but also teaches them life skills and leadership. And I have moved that to Zoom. So that's been an adjustment, but it's also fun. But mainly just spending time with my family and reconnecting with people like you guys. And I don't know, just changing my whole mindset about what the world's going to be like now.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. I know a whole lot of people have been doing the same thing. I mean, as you see, this podcast originated from COVID. So I just want to say thank you, goddamn it. Thank you, COVID. Thank you. Bigger, better, stronger, you know, brighter, wiser, smarter, whatever you want to call it. I want to come out of this thing in all of those categories, you know. You know, like if we gotta do the time, ladies, we may as well do the damn thing. So, you know, piggybacking off of previous conversations, like my homegirl always says, you know, the NBA and the WNBA have decided on their seasons, and the girls started 2 weeks ago in Bradenton, and the players are front and center with Say Her Name. But how much of a voice do we have as women today? I want to elaborate on that. And meanwhile, the Sky, the Mystics, the Storm, and the Lynx vie for the top spots. However, the young teams like the Fever, the Dream, the Aces, and Mercury heat up the stage, Penny. And on a wider scope, the NBA owners contribute $300 million towards economic empowerment in the Black community. My question is, why don't the NBA contribute dollars to the WNBA? Can we get a little piece of that $300 million there? But ladies, I want to elaborate on these topics. So, you know, let's start out with the season. And Penny, I don't want to hear it. I'm a Zelia.
there was a side bet that I'm not aware of. What happened?
What else?
You know, I'm going to keep on
with that Big Ten. To come see me if you want to, you know, stop shooting them bombs, man.
she balled out the other day, though. She balled out.
Who's the hot ticket? All I'm gonna say is, you know, Seattle, I know that's your team. I'm even willing to say their name. I'm gonna say her name. Seattle. You know,
they look good.
Holding on to a league, I'm a. What's going on with that?
It doesn't. Well, you know, like I told you last week, all you got to win is by 1 point, okay? And, you know, it's still early. Even with a lot of other teams, it doesn't matter if you hold them to lead. The bottom line is they were ahead when the clock said 0-0-0-0. And I think they're, what, 5-1? They're 5-1. You know, obviously, I'm impressed with Cheryl Reeves, I'm saying, what she's doing with Minnesota. Like I said last week, I'm impressed with Mike Tebow, even though they had a hiccup the other day with New York getting their first win against Washington. But it's going to be a great league this year. You know, it's competitive, and it's going to be short and sweet. I know for the people in the bubble, it probably seem a little long, but on the outside, it's been actually fun to watch games all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to wait till the weekend, or you don't have to wait the Friday. Literally, you know, it's a game coming on every day, which I think is great. And like I say, minus all the people that, you know, are dying from COVID, but as far as the WNBA, it's getting a lot of publicity and new fans. So that's a positive that is coming out of this. But like I say, Seattle's really, really good. You know, I love Chicago team because I love those young legs. And then, you know, I'm still never going to bet against the purple and gold. So, you know, may the best team win.
LA, you know. Happy birthday to the head coach over there. Today is his birthday.
Bitch,
you gotta get a birthday win. They gotta get a birthday win.
Yeah, they got
today. They got
Minnesota.
Your girl today. Oh yeah, Minnesota.
They got Minnesota today.
Pam, you've been removed from the scene for a little bit. How do you see the growth? How do you look at it from talk to us from your eyes?
I'm just happy about it. I'm like Penny. You know, I think it's you know, for years that's, you know, had those meetings with the league every year going, okay, so, you know, every year we were hoping that this is the year, you know, and whether it was a particular player coming out of college, and that was going to be the thing that was going to turn it around or something. So, you know, for 15 years while I was there, that was a conversation. It was like, so how do we get this thing to the next level, right? Because that's where we always knew, and I know, I'm hoping I see it in my lifetime, that the WNBA is going to be wildly successful one day. So I'm just hoping that I can, you know, see it. But, you know, I think it's great. I'm like you, Penny. I think there's so many advantages to it. Now people, you know, one of the things that I'm sure you guys heard all the time was people didn't even know which channel the games came on, right? So they didn't even know where to find a game, right? So now you know, you just turn to ESPN, okay, and there's a WNBA game on. And so, you know, there's a home for it now, right? It's also playing in season where it should be. You know, there were no changes to having to change the game around to accommodate COVID, right? So there's none of that going on. It's almost a game in its purest form. People are watching it. You know, it's interesting to me because I mentioned my daughter. My daughter has no concept of the WNBA not existing, right? So for her, she's like, this is the way the world is supposed to be. Those of us on the phone, however, I mean, on this thing right now, know that that's not how it was always, you know. So she doesn't have any concept of, you know, where you guys started from and where it is now. She just thinks it's great, it's wonderful, WNBA is here. So I think it's a great opportunity. And I think, of course, the game, the play is amazing. Players keep getting better and better and better. When you guys started, you were amazing. And to think that the players are even getting better than that, is great. So I'm happy about it. You know, I continue to be a huge WNBA fan, continue to root for it, continue to, you know, hope that it gets to that place where, you know, we can sign that first $1 million player in the United States.
And it sounds so sweet, don't it? Everybody smiled on that. And Val, you know, being removed from the game, and, you know, what? Talk to us from your eyes.
I'm just kind of jealous because they got illegal defense now. Like, when I play, like, we get the ball on the post, like, everybody's there. You know, that's what I'm like, what? That's what I think every time I watch a game. I'm like, look how wide open that paint is.
Isn't it beautiful? Even for me as I got to get to the cup. Oh, I'm like, with a legal defense, it will be illegal for me.
Oh
right
my
now.
Goodness!
Oh my God!
And it would have been for you. It would have been.
Oh my goodness!
Wow! And you know what? You opened my eyes to that, because real talk, wow, that would have been a problem. Red rum.
Oh, for sure.
She's a red rum.
Red rum. Okay. You know, get in the pocket, you know, and, you know, Meek, we get your take on it and every Sunday. And, you know, Tara has now become, you know, a basketball fan. She's actually tuning in and watching games and, you know, texting. Well, you know, it's always great to see, you know, it's great to see, you know, we can transform people in an instant. And so, you know, just to prompt you in, Pam, you know, while we got you speaking, you know, being a part of the 2002 collective bargaining agreement with you, I can say arguably, you're probably one of the most brilliant, intelligent women I've ever been around in my life.
Thank you.
Just the way that you carried yourself and you handled yourself during those times with David Stern and, you know, sitting across the table, you know, and I was talking to the girls about, you know, the cold pizza. And the Chinese restaurant out of the box, you know, just sitting around, huddled around in the circle, trying to hammer things out for the group licensing, trying to hammer things out for the vets, trying to hammer things out for the this and the that. There was so many issues, you know. Have we made progress on the topics we were concerned with back in the CBA during the 2002 collective bargaining agreement?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've used that group, and I don't want to disparage anybody, because I negotiated 4 collective bargaining agreements for you guys. So I don't want to talk about any one particular negotiating group. But for me, that 2002 agreement really set the stage for the system for the WNBA player going for the next 100 years, I think. And I think that it was intentional, right? Because, you know, the first agreement, you guys had decided, listen, we have absolutely, basically nothing here, right? We got nothing. I remember Tamika was one of the people that was out there, you know, signing, getting cards signed and all of that stuff. And, you know, it was a realization at that time. You're like, listen, at that time, when you guys unionized, you had no minimum salaries. There were some people making like $5,000, right? There were no minimum salaries. There were no contract guarantees. There was no medical benefits. There were no maternity benefits. There was no retirement plan, no group licensing. Remember, there were a few people that were signed in marketing agreements, but everyone else was out. There was no post-retirement plan. There was no revenue sharing. So that first agreement, what we were trying to do is to make some advances, right? And to sort of get that deal done and get the organization set up. But it was really in that second agreement where I think we said, listen, and to you all's credit, and I use this example all the time. I was like, to you all's credit, I remember sitting around the room, it was you, Cheryl, Tina, Katie Smith, because Katie, we needed a rookie, and we brought Katie in on that. And Sonya Henning was the president at the time. And I remember you guys sitting in the room going, listen, fam, we know we're not getting rich off of this, okay? but let's get a system in place so that when this thing becomes successful, the players can just continue to build on it. And that agreement is the one where you guys got free agency. And that changed the entire landscape of the WNBA. Because for those people who don't remember, when the WNBA started, it started out as a single entity, right? So the team, you all signed to the league office, and then you were assigned to the different teams. So you were negotiating with the WNBA and the NBA General Counsel. So you can imagine how well that went over. So getting free agency for that second agreement was, I mean, that was just paramount. That laid the entire framework. And then, you know, we knew, we sat in that room going, okay, we're going to put something in place for revenue sharing, because you know you had to get that done. An example I use now is, I tell people, imagine if the NBA didn't have revenue sharing in their collective bargaining agreement and Ballmer buys the Clippers for $2 billion. You think they're going to ever put revenue sharing in a deal after that? So the right. fact that we were able to get some form of revenue sharing, we knew those early years that, you know, the benchmarks might have been a little high, but we were just trying to get that system in place. And to you all's credit, I mean, you guys did an amazing job. We went down to the wire. We negotiated and got that deal done about 2 hours before the draft was supposed to happen on ESPN. And y'all were like, we're not having it. We're not doing it. And I also, to WNBA players' credit, and people don't give you guys enough credit for this, I remember Cheryl and Tina were on that committee, right? And the league kept throwing out these, when we negotiated for that free agency, the league's trade-off was that we had to have a hard cap. So they were like, okay, we'll give you free agency, but y'all got to agree to a hard cap. So we were like, okay, we'll agree to a hard cap, and then next time we'll poke some holes in it like we were able to do. But the league was throwing out crazy numbers, like, you know, the maximum salary could be like $250,000 or something. And even Cheryl, and who would have been the people who would have gotten that salary, right? It would have been Tina and Cheryl at that time. But they were like, okay, that's ridiculous. If we take up $250,000 of this cap, we're not going to be able to pay anyone else. So to you all's credit, you all, the foresight that you had at that time was, we're going to get this league going. And your directive to me was, Pam, get this league going and get a system in place, because ain't none of us in here going to get rich doing this. We know that. Y'all, y'all wasn't going to be the ones benefit from it. But look what happened now. So now look what happened. So we were able to negotiate for those maternity benefits at 50%. And then this time they negotiated and got 100% maternity benefits, right? So, you know, we're moving off that core player a little bit. And so everything, to me, is just a progression. So I think the groundwork that you all laid, and those first, especially that second one, is really where I think the success came for this agreement.
Yeah, absolutely. And because we had a conversation yesterday in depth, you know, in regards to those things. And, you know, they were talking about the maternity, and like, we got maternity when we always had maternity. It's just that it was operating at what, 50%, right?
50%, yeah.
50%. You know, you got 50% of your salary. Now it's 100% of your salary. So it wasn't worth talking about it. So then it became that situation where it was like, oh, we got maternity now. But it was always there. It was just so little. But, you know, definitely milestones have been crossed in regards to that. Does anybody want to interject on that? Virginia, you look like you want to say something.
No, I'm listening. I'm actually happy that Pam's on here, because, you know, I think that you being here, Pam, I just want to say this to you, you being here, it's like, for anybody that just signed on here, it's like what you said. We went from nothing to an agreement, and it's been building and building and building. And the point with you being here, that I'm happy that you're here, it shows it takes a village to create a masterpiece. And what people usually see are just the players. And that's why I always tell everybody, there's a whole village behind those players that you see out there, whether in the office or creating this league, you know? And this is another example of when I say, what we were talking about last week, knowing the history, knowing the people that have been immense in this league, and pushing this league forward, because I do believe, at least I like to believe, that just like you, Pam, I'm gonna be here when there is a $1 million contract. But you've done a lot for the league, and this is what people just see what's happening now and be like, rah, rah. But like you said, if you didn't get that 50, you can never get that 100. Because if that wasn't negotiated at 50, they would have just been getting 50 right now. So it just goes to show you, like I said, progress is being made. It's just a matter of trusting the process. But you had a big hand in pushing the league forward, And we all know, just like the players who negotiated this salary, this CBA, they'll benefit a little bit, but it's not for them. It's going to be for the players that's coming behind them. So everybody has to do their part. And this is the thing that I hope the players understand, that when they're negotiating, it's for the, how you say, the greater good. It's for everybody, not just what I'm going to take away from the table. So I'm just happy you're here. You know, people are getting to see you and understand that, hey, you were the first president, you know, of the league. And like I say, without that, you don't have this. And, you know, and I just want to say, you know, thank you for all your hard work. That's basically why I'm just sitting here listening. Oh, so it's been an amazing journal.
I second that.
Third that.
And the other thing I tell people, I was like, you know, you got to even remember when the WNBA first started, most of the players knew that they wasn't even going to be able to play that much longer, right? I mean, there were a group Bingo. Of people, you know, like
that's 10, me overseas, yeah. 10 years yeah. already, you know.
Exactly. So you were Bingo. Really, you were on like the last couple of years, you know. I remember Lynette Wood had paid, you know, for a wow. year.
Nancy Lieberman, Lynette.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheryl didn't even get a chance to play. You know, yeah. Janice Lawrence, that people don't understand when they look at the stuff that Candace and Lisa Leslie did. There was Janice Lawrence before. Lisa yeah. Ingram, who never played in the league. I could go Ooh. Down the line on some great post players that were ahead of their times, including Cindy Brown, who I played with.
I was just going to say Cindy.
And this is what I say, knowing the history. You know, these were extraordinary players that, you know, that paved the way for what they're seeing now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I got to throw Medina Dixon in the pot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Man, we can have...
It. She missed it.
We can have, you know, a master class play. Right now.
Oh, for real.
Okay, so...
You know, for real.
So, that was great for you, to bring that up. I mean, just so... So important. And, you know,
hey, Gerald, man, I want to say one more thing. I just want to say one more thing before we leave. And I think this is important. And Pam, this will probably be what your history could, for me anyway, will be made on. The players went from having nothing to something.
Yeah.
No, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, because think about it. It wasn't even a union when the league first started for all of us who played. It wasn't even a union. And that's why I say, so you can say that pebble was dropped, and now look at the ripple effect of it. Mm-hmm. Look at, with just that little pebble being dropped, look at the ripple effect of everything now. And look at all the people that have been benefiting just from that ripple effect. And that's why I say, they have to go and know the history of this league.
And in a real short time, too. You know what I mean? We're not mm-hmm. talking about, like I said, my daughter has no idea that there wasn't a WNBA, but, you know, we're talking about 20 something years. We're not talking about 50 years, 60 years, you know, that the longevity of NBA. It's relatively a nascent league to be where you guys, where the players are right now. It's pretty remarkable for a short period of time.
Absolutely. And wow. That's what the fans, and I won't say the fans of WNBA, but that's what all the naysayers don't even understand, that this league, the men wasn't even here in 20 years. And I keep saying that, people are so focused on, oh, they're only making 200, you know, it's 250,000 now. You know, last year the max was 219, unless you have one of the marketing agreements. But what they don't understand is the WNBA done gave careers. Look at Dawn, look at Becky. Like I said, look at Shanae Ogumoke on ESPN. You would not have seen these careers without the WNBA.
Yep.
And not to mention all the other WNBA players, it's kind of hard to walk in any business that don't have a WNBA player. Now, think about it. When we first came in, if we played overseas, we weren't getting no coaching job. But because we went in the WNBA, the first person they're looking at now, where's the former WNBA player for recruiting? For this, you know, we're going to be first to get the jobs. You know, went from obscurity to that visibility is allowing us to have bigger careers and make even more money than what the WNBA could ever pay us. And that's what you hope for. The WNBA has done its job and still doing its job by providing opportunities for women on and off the floor. And that's the thing that people are missing, that it's a lot of people still making a lot of money just from this game, the WNBA. It may not be the ones on TV, but I'm talking about their lives. You can look anywhere and there's a WNBA player. Every college man's got a WNBA player. And I can honestly tell you that half these people wouldn't have got these jobs without the WNBA and the visibility that it brought to their brand. You know, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we had a lot of people last week asking a lot of questions, and a couple of WNBA players that's out, you know, out there. Shout out to Adrian Strong sitting out there watching. And Cheryl was on last week and was going back and forth with her this week. And she is currently, Pam, on the board for the Retired Players Association. Mm-hmm. She just got nominated for that. And, you know, her biggest dilemma right now, what she's fighting for the former players and our issues right now with health insurance and also having a pension. Mm-hmm. She's trying to get those things in place. I wanted to ask you, while I have you here, how can we come together as a group to work on these issues with the players, the current Players Association? I don't know how affiliated you are with them, and having a sit down with them, and also the Retired Players Association has to be involved. And I'm even going to throw Michelle Roberts in there because she oversees everything.
Yeah, I think the thing is that much the same way that you guys realized early on that you needed a union, you can just follow that same path. And again, a lot of it has to do with the longevity of the league and how the growth, the age of the league. Because really, you don't even really have any players at this point who are in their 60s, right? So the concept of, you know, any form. So the concept of even thinking about what retired players, what that means, is relatively new. So it's kind of, you kind of have to, I think, maybe hash those things out first. Like, what are the needs? Because you don't even have anyone in 60, unlike the NBA players. You know, you got players who, you know, who passed on, NFL players who are well in their 80s or earlier. So I think what we have to do is much the same way that you sat down and said, well, okay, listen, we're a league now and we need this, this, and this. Now we're moving into a phase where we're starting to have older players, players who are retired. What does that mean? You know, and I think the fact that Cheryl's on the is on the board is a good place to start, because again, part of what was the beauty of you all selecting the NBA Players Association as your union is that you didn't have to start from the beginning, right? So even though I was hired to sort of handle and run the WNBPA, I still had the staff of the NBPA folks there, you know, with all of their resources and all that. So the fact that Cheryl is on that board, you know, she's not starting from scratch. You can pick up on things that are going on with the Retired Players Association already. But I think that's that whole concept is still even new for you guys. Nobody's, is there anybody in their 60s yet? Maybe one or two people, you know, so that whole.
Who?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe.
Lynette probably. Lynette.
You think Lynette is in the 60s?
I don't know. She don't look it. I want to say that.
She don't really don't look it.
You fooling the heck out of one of us.
She don't look 60. But
she might be tapping on that door, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so there we go. We got people rap, tap, tapping. Nancy Lieberman, tapping.
Yeah.
Tap dancing.
The whole concept is just, you know, thinking about that, it's something you're thinking about now. 20 years ago, nobody really thought about that, you know, so I think the fact that Cheryl's on that board, you know, Terry Jackson is amazing at the WNBPA. So I think it's just a matter of sitting down and doing what you did before, which was, okay, this is what we, you know, now that people are moving into this phase, how do we help prepare them? How do we help prepare? Because I think those conversations are much more applicable now than they probably were, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And just to piggyback on that too, like what you're saying, Pam, I totally 100% agree with you. Even right down to now, like when COVID first started, where I say you have enough players out there where, like what Adrian and everybody on this board have been saying, where they need a veteran board, because now you have a lot of people that have been in the real world. When I say in the real world, like Val, such as Val, Meek, and having their own businesses and stuff, that you have to have a board, because these are the resources now that we need to have our own. And what I say is, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to offend anyone out there. They always go, well, why can't the NBA help us? It's time for us to help ourselves, too. You know, that's great if we get those resources. But I'm from the era of, you know, how when your mom said, if you live in my house, you're going to do as I say. You know what I'm saying? Where now with COVID, it's showing you that we need resources of our own. And that's coming from former players that do have businesses and have the skill set and the knowledge to go out and get sponsorships, to sponsor some of these programs for the retired players or whatever comes up. Just like COVID now, you know, what Kyrie did was awesome. But there still should have been we should have our own reserve in case someone can't play for whatever reason. You know, we should be able to help our own, or we need to start thinking about that. Because absolutely. COVID showed you that we have to help ourselves sometimes too. We can't keep saying, oh, help us, help us, help us. You know, this is what we as women are trying to get away from, that no, we don't want to get your crumbs. You know what I'm saying? And I believe us as females and as women, we're capable of creating our own. We're very disciplined. We're very strong-minded, and we're very strong-willed. And this is where, for me, sometimes it's the catch-22, because I'd be like, we're not thinking right. Let's think, let's go create this. Let's go do this so that we don't have to keep begging, give us this, or looking, or people looking at the WNBA, or we charity, let's throw them this bone. No, we're bigger than that. You know what I'm saying? And we have, this is where I want us to go next, you mm-hmm. know, from all of this.
Absolutely. And, you know, for the 15 episodes that we've been on, you know, we've listened to Carolyn Towns talk about how important it is for us to have a POA, a plan of action, in regards to whatever it is that we're going to approach, or whatever it is that you're going to approach out there in life during these times right now. So, you know, that's just coming back to that now more than ever. You want to elaborate on that a little bit, Tara?
Hi, Pam and Bells. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Yes. Well, I think that with, I first want to say that I'm excited just to hear about, I didn't know about where it was to where it is now. So, yay, I'm learning something. But I want to say that micro steps definitely open us up for mega goals. So we must really focus on the little steps, because those little steps, believe me, people are watching too when you take them. So you keep on taking them, they're going to watch. Like Penny, you were just saying, to start doing things yourselves, it will. It doesn't seem like it in the beginning, but when you focus on the steps that it takes and you kind of, you know, numb yourself to naysayers or people who don't believe in your goal, you will continue definitely moving towards that. And then guess what happens when they see it, even step by step, they now say, okay, we will do this. We can do this. I'll help you. Because you are telling them really with your actions that, you know, you do need their hope, but you're not going to stop because you're not getting it. So I think that's really important. But having a POA, a plan of action, when you're presenting to any organization, any business, even in your own life with things that you want to overcome, obstacles and breakdowns that you have, you must have a POA. That POA is really your contract with yourself before you present to other people. So like Pamela was saying, you know, having things organized and set in different times, now it applies, right? You're going to talk about retirement now because people are approaching their retirement, so it's appropriate. The timing is everything. The presentation is beyond everything. And even, too, I want to say this with POAs, even when I form them for clients, I do my research and I have scientific studies behind it, backing it. Because you can say, oh, we need this, we need this, we need this. But how about we present, hey, at 65, you know, Social Security is not really so great to help people, you know, have longevity. Or at 65, your bones start hurting when you're an athlete, or even before that, or you have surgeries, you have different things. Or mental things, like in my lane, begin to really pop up because you may be empty nesters or things change, you have divorces. And now you're just like, okay, I'm not an athlete for a long time. I have this. I don't have medical insurance. I don't know these feelings that I'm processing. So I just think it's so important to have that data set when you're presenting, so that it is a part of your POA and that you're more convincing to people who you're trying to approach to help you. And with that being said, too, about the support, I know I read that, Adrian, a little bit earlier. You know, it's a scientific fact that people who are supported socially or even by their families, they progress versus people who don't. When you feel like you're alone in something, you kind of tend to, because you have so much time, you tend to lean to the negative side of things, right? If you buy yourself, oh, I'm so lonely, oh, the kids don't call me, oh, you know, but instead of saying, okay, well, I have all this time on my hands. What can I do for me, going back to what Penny just said? What can I do for me? What can I do to connect to sisters that I played with? I mean, that's a big thing in my opinion, to have just a whole connection committee and a liaison that supports that. Once again, little micro chapters in each state to keep you guys connected, even if it's just a phone call, even if you're just doing this, even if you send each other pictures, like Pam said earlier, you know, that so much time has gone by. Adrian held her baby. Now she could see her going to a bar mitzvah. I mean, it's just those things kind of warm your heart and keep you connected. You miss each other. You played with each other. You have love for the game, love for each other. But it's just that doing that. Those are things that don't take sponsorship. Those are things that just begin with us, you know, just us having the want and the urge to stay connected. And once you're connected all over the place, there's power in numbers. People will then start paying attention to your message. One person doing it here and there, and it's not consistent, not going to get really much movement. It's going to be harder. But if you set yourself up for success with the power in the numbers and really implementing your own selves into what you want and what you're presenting to get people to bite on it, it's more powerful. And we are. When people say, you know, how much power do women really have? How much of a voice do we really have? We have as much of a voice as we speak. So if we keep on speaking about it, no matter what the gender is, you're going to have people say, oh, God, let me just help just because I wanted to shut up. Or you're going to have people say, you know, oh, wow, I'm taking another look at this. Do you know what I mean? Just like me. It's not that I was anti-WNBA. My daughter played basketball, still does, excuse me. Let me not get in trouble later. College ball. And I went to her games when she was five, but I really never went to, I went to NBA games, but I went to a few WNBA games. But now I'm, you know, you guys are like my friends and family now, so now I'm taking a deeper look at it. And that's my point. I've been on here for 15 weeks. So I'm like, whoa, let me take a deeper look. And I like it. It's so exciting. It is exciting and fun to watch. So that's my point. Keep on doing it. Keep on saying it. Keep on moving. And people will say, let me see about this, you know, retirement, or let me see about paying them more because they're worth it. But also very, very educated and smart women. I mean, you guys go to college, you take something in college, right? I mean, you're educated women. So I just feel, once again, the micro steps open us up for the mega goals. And it's definitely, definitely important to have an array of support. And I mean emotional support, because we always talk about this, right, ladies? Like, we always focus on the physical part in sports. But the physical part cannot perform if that mind, which is also the brain, is a muscle, okay, it needs to be exercised. If it's not exercised, if it's not supported, that brain needs emotional support. These women need emotional support. I'm going to play for you for $200,000, $250,000 if I'm going to play because I love the game, but don't you think I would play a little bit more and a little bit harder and if it was a little bit more, or if you checked in with me and said, hey, great job. I mean, there could be that committee too, an inspiration committee that totally texts new players and retired players, connects you guys once again to mentor and pick a new player with a retired player. I mean, there's so many ways that you guys can just, you know, inspire each other and grow off of each other from the past with the knowledge and then the future who needs the knowledge. Like, I love that Pam's daughter doesn't know anything but that, because that has been her microsystem and what she has been exposed to since birth. Do you know what I mean? So she doesn't know the difference. That's what we could do with racism too, right? We can expose children to not being racist, and then guess what we'll have? Not racism in the United States. So it's just what you put into something, and it definitely begins at home. Growth begins at, I don't care how many you know, gurus you have, how many this, how many workshops, but if you don't agree first to receive that and to be accountable and responsible for your actions and your own goal, I don't care who you go to the top coach in the country, it's not going to happen. Or if it does, you will take a longer road, let's just say, to get to your goal than you can already be there just having that knowledge and that information.
Absolutely.
All in one breath. Now I'm going to take my drink.
But no, I was going to say, that's why it goes back to what, Adrian, you've been trying to fight for forever as far as committee, because just like I said earlier, it takes a village to move something forward. And as amazing as Terry is, she's still one person, where when you have a committee, you can assign different tasks and different objectives to different people so that they can, one part, like say those vets can function on, let's go out and see what resources we need to get the revenue for retirement, while, you know, the hub can function on something else. And that's why you need more people that are invested. You know, you need more, you know how you say, okay, you have the Players Association, but now we need some micro groups. You know, you need some micro groups that function up under that group that's fighting for, some other agendas that are important for this league. And those resources, when you have those micro groups, those are the resources that you send out to get those other tasks done. You know, because I'm gonna tell you right now, with the group they have, and it's a great group, but there's still a lot to be done. And I think you always want to add, if it's positive, you always want to continue to add on to cover more territory, because it's a lot to ask when you just got one group focusing on one thing, and it's going to take a lot longer if this is the only thing I can focus on right now, versus having micro groups that can function at the same time and report back to one hub.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great interjection right there. We got some people that are, you know, chiming in, so I want to pay attention to them. Shout out to everybody that's out there that's watching, and shout out to everybody out there that's just posing some powerful questions. We got Adrian Williams on here, strong, former WNBA player, and she says, in the NBRPA, the few WNBA players are leading the way. I am the treasurer of the Phoenix chapter, and they look to my feedback every single time. I call the meetings. We have had one event that I recommend. So, yes, we have so much knowledge, so much wisdom and respect. We can do this. And so that's basically backing up what you said, Gama, Virginia, what you said. We are intelligent. We are wise. We are strong. We can do this. And, you know, we definitely, I'm going to keep on being an advocate for this, that we definitely need an advisory committee. We need a board in which we can get out here and really build this league in a positive way. And so much love and respect to Adrian for doing that. Much love and respect for Cheryl for what she might be enduring at this time. You know, but I just would love to see, you know, Terry and Scott Rochelle and us come around at a round table, sit down and talk about some things and hammer out some stuff. And, you know, Val, you sitting there kind of quiet. I'm going to pull you in this conversation.
I like to listen. I'm an introvert. I'm good.
I know you are. I know you are. I dealt with this with you in Brazil. I'd be like, Val.
I can't see the two of y'all hanging out. Oh my goodness.
Val was the quiet one. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, come on, Val, we over here, you know, here's Val. So you can see the dude in the back with the pop shot. Everybody's bam, 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 Val's like this. Bam. Bam. She the one shooter. Come on, Val. I know you got a lot inside of you. You want to talk about?
I got questions. I don't know how revenue share works. If someone help me understand that. I want to know that, and how is it at 50% or is it still 22%?
No, the revenue sharing was always based on ticket sales and And I think they introduced another category, but there's a benchmark by which the league has to even reach before the revenue sharing would even kick in.
Yep.
So I don't know what that number, I don't know what that new number is, but there's a certain number of when overall ticket sales reaches that amount, then the revenue sharing split starts kicking in. And I'm not sure what I don't know what the new number is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been, you know, I remember that being on the table. You know, they were like, oh yeah, we'll revenue share, but you gotta sell a certain amount of tickets, and it'd be like, whoa, okay, so we really gotta get out there and really pound it. We gotta pound the pavement. Each team needs to sell tickets, and then that's how we get the revenue sharing. You know, I love to see how this hoodie thing is working out. But also another thing that we fought about, Pam, was the group licensing. And we were adamant, okay, about taking that from them and putting it in our laps. We have that in our laps. What is it that we have to do to enforce that? What is it that we have to do to get that up off the ground so that we could start really, you know, everybody is sharing in the wealth? You said that there's a certain cost to that. What is that?
Well, you know, so just a little bit of history there. So obviously when you guys first, you know, first started playing, the league controlled the group license. So group license basically is when there are three or more players in any marketing endeavor. So individually, if you wanted to just do your own deals, that's separate. But so the league controlled that. So it wasn't until the second or third agreement when we were like, okay, well, we need to control our own indicia. They control their own indicia, which is, you know, the team and league logos, and the players need to control their own indicia, their likenesses and names, et cetera. So, you know, initially it's a tough market too, right? So everybody, one of the first things I always ask people when I, you know, speak places, and I say, well, you know, what do you think about the WNBA? And everybody's like, oh, I love the WNBA. I think it represents, it has this entire social value, right? And it represents women's empowerment. It's a way for dads to connect with their daughters. It's, you know, a social value. So then my next question is, well, how many people in this room have bought a ticket? Mm-hmm. And then nobody's bought a ticket, right? They think it's amazing. So somehow you got to get people to move that emotional connection to an economic connection, right? And that's where all of this thing comes in. So and the group license for the WNBPA is no different than the NBPA, Major League Baseball. The concept there is that the high tide raises all boats, right? So there are going to be some people whose jerseys are going to sell more than others, but every WNBA players, and you guys voted on this initially, when you unionized, that the group license money would be distributed evenly amongst every, you know, all the players. So the more, you know, the more people that can raise, more money that can be raised. One of the problems, though, it's like, say, for example, when I think the players were WNBA players were introduced to the EA Sports game, and I don't remember what year that was.
But I remember.
We could only get six players in, right? Because EA Sports was saying it cost them too much money to put in, basically in like that template, more players. So even though there were six players in there, all players were able to at least reap the benefits from it, because at least those six players. But the problem is, like you said, there's a cost to it. And the cost, we got to get people to recognize that that cost is worth taking or worth making. But some sponsors, some licensors will be like, oh, I'm not want to do this. I don't want to do that. I think it's great. And I don't want to put out the money. You know, so we got to get people to recognize that it's worth putting out the money. And the other big deal was when the WNBA got a TV rights deal. I mean, we all know in sports, that's where the money is. It's a TV rights deal. So that changed the landscape in and of itself. And I think right now the group license is doing really well, because I think they partnered with, what's it called? I think I want to say One Teams, One Sport or something like that is the name of the organization. So I think it's Major League Baseball Players Association, MLB, PA, licensing arm, and WNBPA arm licensing. And I think U.S. women's soccer. So they've come together and to market them individually and as a group. I can't think of the name of the organization, and it's basically almost like a venture capital project that right. they've done. So they've made those steps to actually try to increase the group license. But it's all about people, you know, people need to go out there and send their money. They want to see this thing work. This is how this thing is going to work, okay? Yeah. This is not an altruistic endeavor. This is a business, you know?
Yeah.
And if you want to see the WNBA players do well and get paid and all that, then go out and buy tickets. And don't sit home saying, oh, it's great. I think, I love it. It's fabulous. Oh, but I ain't want no ticket. And how is this thing going to work? You would never suggest that with Major League Baseball, right? You would never suggest that the Major League Baseball players should just play for the love of the game, right? You think they should play something. Yeah. You know, everybody just play for the love of the game. Well, you know, let's not suggest that women
should. And they don't even have a salary cap.
They don't have a salary cap. They can make anything.
They don't even have a salary cap. Look at the million.
Crazy.
And that's what a lot of people don't know.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's where it goes to. Like when what you say, Pam, and I always say it, everybody, I always say, once you come to a game, you're going to be a fan. The yeah. other thing I would like to say in our challenge, it was a time, look at what we're talking about now. Then there was a time that we wanted women executives in high power places, right? Now, okay, they need to be more of us, but there are enough of us that I say that now you need to invest those dollars back in women's sports. You know, because like I said a couple of calls ago, where I could ask a guy and I challenge any woman out there, they may know all the players in the league. But when I ask a female player, she doesn't know. But I'm saying to these women executives, you know, just because you're in the boardroom, you don't have to be one of the guys and say, well, I don't want to be different. Let me just vote to put all the money in men's sports. Because the reality of it is, a quarter of whatever the Lakers get, forget the quarter, let's say a nickel. Do you know how much you can get in the WNBA for that money? But they rather spend, let's say, the whole quarter over there and get this much versus invest that quarter in the WNBA and see how much your market will grow. You know what I'm saying? Because we were one of the first teams to have a jersey sponsor when we had Palmer's. And they loved us. They loved the visibility. You know, we were champions at the time. And everywhere that the Sparks went, there was that jersey. Farmers. They got they made a lot of money from us. And we're saying we're marketable, we're profitable, and we bring dividends. But I want all those women executives to be different and don't go along with the boys in the boardroom and say, hey, you know what? It's time to invest some money back into women and women's sports. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, this it will continue to grow. It will continue to grow. And I find a lot of jobs still, you know, just to sum it up, they would give a dollar and get nothing versus, okay, give us that dollar and get the world. You know, we're profitable. We bring dividends. People don't get it. We can generate revenues for your company. We can bring visibility to your company. Because women, we're multifaceted. You know, we have a lot of aspects of us.
I'd like to see some more women buy teams. That's what I'd like to see more women actually purchase teams.
And that's why I was so happy when Washington won. Not only was she a woman, she was a black woman, Sheila Johnson. You know, even though it's Ted Leonis with her, but still she was visible. And I can honestly tell you, being a GM for Paula Madison, oh my God, I was praying that we could win a championship for her to be one of the first Afro-Americans to win a championship. You know, and I'm not even bragging about myself. Even in LA, I'm sure I'm one of maybe zero general managers that ever played in sports. I'm talking men and women to have the multiple titles that I have. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it kills me how, and I'm just going to throw it out there, how these things can be overlooked with so much hard work that we have done. You know, even being, you know, not shifting the grill, but you're saying Black Lives Matter. Let's just put it out there that some of the things that we, you know, that we've done. And that's why when Sheila won, I was like, you know, yeah, I was rooting for Washington. If LA can't win it, I'm from DC. I knew Sheila would be very visible. She's been a supporter of this league. She's been in the league. She's been working hard. But I can honestly tell you when Paula Madison took over the Sparks, I mean, that added another level to my, my ambition to try to get that title for her.
you know, because I mean, when you look back in history and people don't appreciate it now, but when they look back, it's monumental. You know what I'm saying? And Paula was a sole owner. You know, she didn't have a partner. The Wynn Group Holding, they owned the whole team themselves. Didn't have a partner. And these are the things that need to be focused on. And like I said, not toot my own horn, but what other Black GM has as many titles, if one title, that I have? None. I don't think in men's sports or women's sports.
I was going to say, in any sport. I don't think so.
You know, and those are the things. And if it wasn't me, I would say, trust me, there's another topic I could bring up, but I ain't even bring it up on here. I'm going to keep it positive because it's incredible the stuff that, you know, it's unfortunate that it always takes a crisis to put a spotlight on something. You know, it always, you know, and I know that's how we grow, but sometimes it doesn't have to take a crisis. You know, if the obvious is there, let's just call it out and let's move on and be great and be better, you know. I know I kind of went off the topic a little bit, but, you know, that is, I was happy when Washington won.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely was a city that needed something positive to happen anyway. I've always been a fan of D.C., even when I was at Old Dominion University, I always found myself in D.C. somehow.
Why am I not surprised about that?
Good city. You know, shout out to everybody that's on here, you know, doing numbers for real. I was looking down at the people that are participating, and a Mike Lowry popped up. I thought that, you know, I was in Martin Lawrence movie. Mike Lowry.
Bad boy. Bad boy.
Hey, Mike.
So, you know, I can't say how happy I am, you know, to have had you on the show, Pam, because you really answered a lot of questions and you shed a lot of light on some different things that we couldn't answer, you know. Mm-hmm. And the CBA is probably the toughest, most tedious piece of paperwork over there in the NBA, in the WNBA, in the Major League Baseball, in NFL, you know, and you know it like the back of your hand. There's 360 pages of information about how the WNBA governs itself, how it pays itself, and, you know, how it functions. So anybody out there, you're interested, you can go and you can download that. Where can they download that at, Pam?
It's on the Players Association. You know, it's always on our website. So I know it's on the Players Association website. Think they could do that.
Yeah.
But before I go, there's one other thing I just wanted to say. Even though collective bargaining was a big part of my job and what you guys do, but at rookie orientation every year, I used to tell the players, I'm like, listen, God willing, you're going to spend much more time not playing basketball than you're going to be playing basketball. So my job, especially for WNBA players, when you guys weren't making nearly as much money as the men, was to help prepare you for life after basketball. Yes. So to that extent, that's to me even just as important as what the players are doing now. And so I say that to say that what you guys are trying to do, I know the Players Association is continuing to implement programs to help players that are currently playing, but what you guys are trying to do to prepare players for life after basketball and to prepare them for retirement, to me is just as important or even more important. Because like I said, more God willing, you will spend much more time, you know, not playing basketball than you are going to be playing basketball. And so if there's anything I can do to assist you in those efforts, you know, you can always pick up the phone, call me. You need some more information about, I'll try to do as much as I can with the CBA in interpretations and that sort of thing. But this has definitely been great for me. I got to actually jump, but, you know, I kind of feel like, even though my daughter's 13, but my first birth baby was the WNBA, right? So I started in 1999. So that was my first baby. And so, you know, you don't never stop loving that first child. So I will always love you guys. Thank you so much for inviting me on, Goody. And let me know if there's anything I can do, because you know I'm always here.
Pam, I got to thank you, though. I don't know if you remember, but guys, I actually took the whole 2000 season off because of depression. And I struggled with depression my whole WNBA career, and I wasn't being treated. I don't know what I was doing, but she helped me maintain my benefits because they weren't going to give me my benefits during the 2000. And she told me I should be getting paid, but I refused. I think I was so mad. And I was like, I don't want their money. But she was just there in my corner, and it was just she always goes the extra miles. What I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pam.
Before you go, Pam, I just want to reiterate what I said earlier, that for the people that are on here, Pam created that little ripple that's still generating big results today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you were in the union, I was a GM on the other side, but I always tried to do what was right for the players. And I just want to, like, say, I hope everybody understands your contribution. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you.
It's great to give you that visibility, you know, and I just want to say thank you because, like I say, every place, everything has a starting point, and you were a starting point.
Thank you for getting the players some good rights, some good money.
You know, I'm getting ready to cry over here. Stop.
You guys
have no idea.
That's right.
She made me wanna be bigger, better, faster, smarter, wiser. What made me wanna work for the Players Association. Like, I want, that was like my ultimate job, man. You know, so thank you for planting a seed. You know, doesn't mean no, it's just made, it might be deferred. But shout out to all of my people. We got Skip to my man, Skip to the, my Lou came on.
What's up, Rafe?
What's up, Rafe? Thank you, baby. So, you know, shout out to any closing, you can't get rid of us, Pam, I'm stuck in blue cheese purgatory. That's because you're not supposed to go until I click you off of here.
All right.
You always take Pam said she would say what she was going to say. Tamika, give us some closing thoughts, love.
I echo what everybody else was saying, Pam. We appreciate
it. I appreciate
all you do personally, and I know we, you know, as a collective, always appreciated what you did for us. I spent a lot of time with you and phone calls back and forth with you as well. So just on behalf of the former players and everybody here, yo, we appreciate everything you did, and we thank you. And hopefully, you know, we can call on you whenever we need you moving forward with the new, with whatever new things we got, and just, you know, pick your brain on some new things that's coming.
Absolutely.
Anything, Val?
I'm just
so
grateful for
the show. Towns.
I'm not going to be asked back, am I? You're not going to ask. I want to come back.
Val, you're
not
going to
be asked back, am I?
You're going to be asked back.
Val,
you coming back next week.
All right. I do want to say I used to look up to Penny. Penny, listen, I used to, what?
Hey, taking a better time to be an introvert, Val. Okay. Now, bottom line is this: you gotta let everybody know about the TikTok. You coming back next week?
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely talking about that.
Yes.
TikTok. Yeah, we want Tara to interject on that. Yes. Tara can't wait.
My girl over there.
TikTok. I can't. I cannot.
Come on and bring us home.
Well, you know, I'd say today it's been a pleasure. You know, we had some great people on, Val and Pam. It was really a joy to see you again. And I just want to say that everybody out there, you're looking at progress. You're looking at progress when you're watching this show. I think, you know, Goody is Sunday brunch. I want to take my hat off to you. You know, I look forward to these shows, you know. And it's a lovely show with some great people. And, you know, if they say you can't be together physically, you can be together virtually. So for me, I'm going to take it
home. Love the one you're with, baby. Love the one you're with.
It's been an awesome Sunday morning with you people this morning. So I want to say thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, yes.
Penny, yes. Penny, can I have your autograph, though? I used to watch you on TV. I'm serious. When I was in high school, I just want your autograph. You know,
Val, you know you can have whatever you want. I always tell people.
Please, Val, please. I got to deal with this every Sunday. Please.
Yo, but Penny, did you used to have a gold tooth?
For the passion of
did
Christ.
Did you have a gold tooth in college? Did you have a gold tooth in college?
No,
gold tooth.
No, I didn't have a gold tooth. I had a gap tooth. But when you start making money.
Stop lying. You didn't have a gold tooth. Stop lying. You had a gold tooth.
You had a gold tooth.
And the reason why I didn't have a gold tooth is I didn't have no money to buy one.
Don't make me bring Donna Harrington on here. You had a gold tooth.
No, I didn't. What I was, and this is what I tell everybody, and this will be a segment in my memoirs, and you're gonna have to read the memoirs to get the whole picture. But it was like, I thank God for my parents to give me confidence, and when I say confidence, with or without that gap, I was confident. But obviously, when you make more money and you achieve a lot of things, even I was smart enough to understand that, you know, there are some appearances that people look at first. And yeah, I took the money that I made overseas and I invested in putting braces on my teeth that my parents couldn't afford for me. And this is why I look now, and just to give people just a quick thing, this is why I always tell people when I meet people, everybody has a story, because I even have players that came up in the Sparks and they would say to me, Penny, you don't know what it's like to be without. I go, my parents wasn't rich. My mom was a maid, you know, but when I started making my own money and I understood that my parents didn't have it, no, I invested in bracelets. I remember I had the braces on my teeth, Mick. I think when you was there. I had the braces on my teeth.
I remember the whole thing.
And obviously those doctors were amazing. And I tell my dentist now, you can't die until I die. And bury me with my mouth.
We're gonna go out on that one because I remember those braces, Virginia. I remember. Shout out to all my people. We toasted up before we leave. Everybody have a
love
great
you
week.
Guys, appreciate you, ladies. Guys. Love you guys too. You guys. Bye. You too.
Bye.
Have a beautiful week.
Ring ringing and pinky ringing. Sammy Sosa. Love y'all.
Love you.
Recording has stopped.